This is All Things Considered on 88.5 KNKX. I'm Ed Ronco. Over the past decade, more than 300 inmates have died in Washington and Oregon jails. That's according to a first-of-its-kind accounting by public media outlets in the Northwest. More than half of the inmates who died were awaiting trial. That means they had not been convicted of the crime they were arrested for. As part of our series, Booked and Buried, Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins reports on the prevalence of deaths among unconvicted inmates.
We're in the booking area of Washington's Cowlitz County Jail. Director Marin Fox shows a visitor a cramped holding cell.
They're intended to be used for holding to await booking.
But she explains they're often used for housing inmates because this jail doesn't have a lot of individual cells.
Housing, an overflow for medical mental health, people that can't go to population.
This 4.5 by 8 foot cell is not much wider than a broom closet. It has yellow cinder block walls and a metal bench, and that's it. It's in this cell, cell H6, that a young mother named Brittany Smith died a few days after Christmas in 2016. She'd been held in this tiny cell with no toilet or bed for 36 hours. Smith was the 7th Cowlitz County inmate to die in a 6-year period.
And the sad thing is that many of these deaths, the person's never been convicted of anything.
This is attorney Dwayne Crandall. He's suing on behalf of 4 of the families whose relatives died at the jail. Crandall used to be a deputy prosecutor. His job then was to send people to jail. But the way he looks at it now, most of his clients shouldn't have been in jail at all.
These are people that are just in custody because they can't make bail.
In fact, 2/3 of the inmates who died in Washington and Oregon County jails over the last decade had not yet been convicted. That's according to a first-of-its-kind analysis of Northwest jail deaths by public media. Art Wallenstein is the former director of the King County Jail in Seattle and a nationally known jails expert. He says anyone can end up in jail, from a Friday night drunk driver to someone accused of murder. An awaiting trial in jail can worsen a person's medical condition or lead them to self-harm. He says if you want to reduce jail deaths, let more people out of jail while they await trial.
They can go to the hospital emergency room. They can turn on the television, do whatever they need to do to improve their state of mind.
In Washington, the law actually presumes a person will be released pending trial. But the reality is judges favor bail as something of an insurance policy that results in more people being locked up pre-trial. Marin Fox, who runs the Cowlitz Jail, won't discuss the deaths in her facility because of ongoing litigation. It's important to note 2 of those deaths didn't result in lawsuits. They were older inmates with pre-existing conditions. Fox says the people coming through her doors these days are sicker, more mentally ill, and more acutely drug addicted than when she started 20 years ago. She says the question is, who should be dealing with these challenging cases?
The blame and the focus is on the jails, and I'm not saying there's no responsibility in the jails, but I think there needs to be more blame and focus on the community and why these people are ending up in jail.
Brittany Smith ended up in jail in December of 2016 because she was high on drugs and her mom couldn't control her. The police were called. There was talk of taking her to the hospital, but then Smith retrieved a small amount of what appeared to be black tar heroin from a trash can and showed it to the officers. They arrested her. She died on her 2nd night in jail.
For the last 2 years, I've kind of been in a fog.
Roxanne Smith is Brittany's mother. She says her daughter needed help, not a jail cell.
She should have been taken to the hospital right here, and if they didn't take her to the hospital, they should have monitored her.
Investigators ruled Brittany Smith's death an accident. She died on the floor of her cramped holding cell from a toxic reaction to methamphetamine and Prozac. She was 26. She left behind 3 children.
Austin Jenkins reported that story from Longview, and Austin joins us now in the studio to talk a little more about this reporting. Hi, Austin.
Hello, Ed.
First of all, thanks for these stories. They've been really interesting to listen to, an important issue for a lot of people. And I'd like to drill down for a moment on one of the things we just heard. Attorney Dwayne Crandall said in the story there that one way to prevent jail deaths would be to let more people out while they await trial rather than, you know, lock them up pending bail that they might not be able to pay. Have there been any moves to restrict the use of bail?
You know, it seems like that conversation is getting started here in Washington. Just in the last couple of months, we've seen a report from the state auditor that looked at expanding access to pretrial services as an alternative to jail and bail. The audit found that on any given day in Washington, some 4,700 people who are in Washington jails would be candidates for pretrial services, and that by releasing them and providing them with supports, it could save taxpayers something like $6 to $12 million a year. There was also a report recently from the Washington Pretrial Reform Task Force, which is coming out of the court system, that Justice Mary Yu, who sits on the Supreme Court, said should, quote, reinforce the constitutional presumption of innocence and encourage alternatives to incarceration. That report has a bunch of recommendations. And I'll just add that state lawmakers this session are also looking at diversion programs to offer alternatives to jail for people, especially those with serious mental illness who often end up in jail and languish there.
The story we just heard and the reporting we're talking about now is part of a larger project that includes the first of its kind database of Northwest jail deaths. Why hasn't that been done before? Why hasn't that data been collected before?
So to create this database, we had to request in-custody death reports from every county jail in Washington and Oregon. Some jails were very efficient in getting us and that information and responding, but we had to haggle with others. Jails often wanted to claim exemptions that ostensibly are there to protect the privacy of inmates, but after the inmate is dead, seem to be more about protecting the jails from having to release full details of who died in their custody. Once we got that information, we had to enter it by hand into a database. We had to track down deaths that weren't reported. And so in the end, we found 300 plus deaths over a 10-year period, putting all this information, the name of the inmate when we had it, their age, when they were booked, what they were charged with, whether they were convicted, unconvicted, what they died of, all that information. And then we were able to start to analyze that data. And a big shout out to Tony Schick at Oregon Public Broadcasting, who did that analysis, which now allows us to begin to tell a story, a series of stories about what's happening in Northwest jails.
You have done several investigations focused on vulnerable people and the way they're treated by government agencies. I remember stories you've done about mental health patients, foster children. This is about jail inmates. What makes you focus on that kind of work?
As a state government reporter, I'm drawn to examples of where we don't have the services or the capacity to care for vulnerable individuals. That might be severely brain-injured people or hard-to-place foster youth who are being sent to out-of-state facilities, or people with serious mental illness who can't get into Western State Hospital because there's a backlog of patients trying to get out because there's nowhere to place them. With jails, what drew me to this topic is that unlike the prison system, there's no state oversight. And we know that, for instance, mentally ill people are languishing in jails. We hear anecdotally that people are dying in jail, but we just didn't have the full scope or picture, and it didn't feel like jails were getting the scrutiny or the attention that they need, especially when it's a matter of life and death.
And now we have a much clearer picture.
Yeah. And it's a problem that extends. This is a societal issue. It's a community issue, not just a jails issue. And there's funding issues, there's staffing issues, there's design and architecture issues. And we're going to be exploring that. Healthcare, the delivery of healthcare in jails. We're going to be exploring a lot of that in the coming months.
Well, Austin, thank you. And thanks to the other journalists who worked on this series.
Yeah, it's definitely a team effort.
Austin Jenkins, our Olympia correspondent in the studio this afternoon. This reporting is part of an ongoing series called Booked and Buried, put together by Northwest Public Media Outlets. And tomorrow we will hear from Oregon Public Broadcasting's Conrad Wilson. We should say we have much more on our website, including a lot of the data that you yourself can look at. It's at knkx.org.